damn, it's another week.
Oh,
Love Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
you
one?
UCR.
Go.
We're saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. Let's just go everywhere, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Uncensored Radio. It's me, Karen Ashley, and, you know, tonight we have got my dynamic duo partner, Mr. Jeffrey Emmett. How are you, Jeffrey?
Who? Who are you talking
you.
About?
You're
me.
My dynamic duo. Yeah.
Oh,
you.
That's right. It is me. You know, sometimes I just get a little forgetful. It happens
are you
here.
Drunk?
No, I'm not drunk. It's just been kind of a crazy weekend.
Yeah, it has. And, of course, we've got our producer, the number one, the fabulous, the infamous, James, Mr. Lift, who has his new show debuting this Friday, so you better tune in. James, how are you?
I'm good. I don't think I deserve all that, but damn, I'll take
you
it.
You know, hey, I'm in a generous mood. I'm in a very generous mood.
Well,
I'm very excited today. Yeah, I'm a very excited person today. I am. I had a crazy weekend, crazy day, and you know how it is for me. It's never a dull moment. But I'm very excited to be on Uncensored Radio, and I'm just excited to talk to you guys.
You should be.
I should.
You were just so modest. You were just so,
he is.
So humble.
Yeah,
hey,
he got in the
so
modest line like 8 times when God was handing out modesty.
It's not my fault I'm loved. I mean,
I know. You are loved. That part is true.
I mean,
you're pretty cute and cuddly.
Different.
Uh-huh, that's Jeffrey. He's our Jeffrey.
I don't want to be pretty cute and cuddly. Oh, that's not cute.
Why?
Just
you
want not. To
be pretty hot and tempty?
Yeah. I'll be
okay.
There again. I'm working on it. I went walking today twice. A little crazy.
Awesome.
Beautiful day.
Awesome.
Ate fruit and my little shake, my little shake this morning. So Mom was
okay.
Working on it. So we'll see about the conventions in August. If I'm a little thinner, and then I'm going to be mad because I'm not going to have nothing to wear.
I'm going to have to buy you some Daisy Duke shorts so you can bust those out.
No. Mama got varicose veins. Can't be doing no Daisy Dukes. No.
What about a pink Power Ranger suit? You want to wear some pink spandex?
If I'm skinny enough and I can get a spank that it looks like I'm just curvy, I'd do it once. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen once for 3 minutes. I'm getting the suit on, posing. You get one shot to take a photo, and we're done. And it is the only time I will ever put anything on my body that is remotely related to the Power Rangers. I'm sorry.
Spandex, you can't go back. I'm just saying.
Bull.
I'll give you a spank, all right.
I bet you will.
We'll spank that little pink ranger me, all right.
Well,
you know, it's killing me, though. There's so much for us to talk about instead of pink ranger meat, because I can't really handle it right now.
I know.
In, like, just over 10 minutes, my friend Cindy is going to be coming on the show, Cindy Bishop.
Yes.
And we're going to, it's
wait.
Very sad, we're going to be talking about her sister, who was brutally murdered. She's beaten and stabbed to death in 82, and they are trying to let her killer go free. And I kind of read this. Yeah, she posted something on my Facebook page, not knowing that this was going on. So I've kind of jumped on the bandwagon, and I want them to help them as much as we can. And really, the fact is that as many listeners as we have, we can easily make a difference. I've been posting all weekend the link to their Facebook page, which, James, if you could get it up in the chat room throughout the show, that would be great. All you need to do is like this Facebook page. So they can take that to the DA and the parole board and say, look, we have, 1,000 likes on this page. And then they even gave out links that it only takes 2 to 3 minutes to fill out this little quick form. They actually have a little thing that you can copy and paste into the box that you can send to the parole board. And it's
right.
safe. You don't have to worry. And like one of the things my friend thought of was that people were worried that this guy would see this stuff. He's not gonna. You're going to be fine. You're going to be safe. It's all kept under wraps. And at the end of the day, what's more important? Being afraid to like a Facebook page or to let a killer run free on the streets who has a prior
right.
history? Like, this was a premeditated, cold-blooded murder. There's no way
right.
around it. So it's very near
right.
and dear to my heart. So I can't wait to have her on.
Mine too.
But for the next 10 minutes, let's try to get crazy and
yes.
not get too serious. And I have to
yeah.
tell you, I'm watching
yes.
the Nurse's Ball. Mary, are
yes.
you watching the Nurse's Ball in Jennifer
no.
Hospital?
No, I haven't seen it, but I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. You know I am. I've got it, like, I got it already ready for me to watch. I've got so much TV I have to catch up on. I didn't watch Scandal last week. I've got to watch the Nurse's Ball. I've got to watch Dallas, which I have yet to see last week's episode, and I got to watch
Ooh,
tonight's episode.
I just watched
so.
It. Ooh, my mother wanted me to cancel the show tonight because it was a two-hour thing, and it was so good. And I'm telling you, if Cindy wasn't on, I totally would have been like, I've got the plague or something.
Yeah, see how he lies? But you know what? You said you wanted it to get crazy. I know a way we can get crazy real fast. We can get crazy telling these people about this contest that we have going on. We've got this amazing picture that I signed, David Yost signed, Jason David Frank, Catherine Sutherland. I think Walter signed it. Like, you cannot
Everybody.
Get that many signatures from that many Power Rangers on one page without spending a fortune. This picture is going to be yours for free. So, with that being said, you can own this picture, but you have to answer a few questions. We've had a trivia contest going on all week, and Miss Catherine Sutherland will be here on Wednesday, and she's going to, we're going to take calls, we're going to get these questions answered, and she's going to award this picture to somebody. So, Jamesy, can you run down the questions? Because each day you have to answer a question from a show. So you have to listen to old episodes. You've got to figure out what the clue is telling you. And then on Wednesday, you'll call in, say hey to Catherine, answer the questions, win the picture. Real simple, right?
Right.
Probably
okay.
not that simple, but yes.
Very simple. Right. So, James, what was Wednesday's question? We started on Wednesday.
We started on Tuesday,
I'm sorry. But we
yeah.
asked the first question Wednesday, which had to do with Tuesday's show. What was the first question?
The first question was, what did our guest Holly Chanel do in the audience to get the producer's attention of the Rosie show to become the official announcer?
Right. And you can find that answer on Tuesday's show. Tuesday of last week, you can listen on demand. You can find that answer. So then, what was question number two?
Oh, I don't even
question
know this.
Was what did Karen give David Yost for Christmas?
Yes. You can find the answer to that question on last week's show Wednesday. It was on Wednesday. So listen on demand. Wednesday, you can find that
okay.
out.
Okay. I
question
was there. I don't even know the answer to this question. I need to go
exactly.
back and listen to it.
You got to go back and listen. Question number three, what was that?
What game did Lucille Ball like to play all the time when she was at home?
Perfect. You can listen to Thursday's episode and get the answer to that question. Now, question number four.
Question number four is from Friday's show, when they put me through the ringer. and the question is, what is one of the two secrets that I revealed during Friday's show?
Yes. Okay. So those are the four questions we have so far. Obviously today, you've got to pay attention to this show because tomorrow we'll have the fifth question. And I think that is, you're going to have six questions total. So we got two more questions that are coming. Tomorrow's question, and then we'll have Tuesday's question. And hey, I'm telling you, this picture, honestly, is worth a lot of money. I would want it if I were a Power Ranger collector fan, you know, collector. It is worth every ounce of gold. So be sure and listen to the past episodes. Get these questions answered, and you shall win. Yay!
That's true. And, I mean, it's a great photo. I'll make sure that I take a photo of it so we can put it up so people can see what they're getting.
Yes.
You know,
maybe that'll get more people to enter the contest.
I love that Jennifer is, like, in the chat room putting all the answers in there. She's answering
it. Don't put the answers, Jennifer. Don't put the answers. You don't want anybody else to win that picture.
Oh, no. Like, they're all cheating. See, this is how bad on us. We should have never told them the questions ahead of time.
Oh, God.
That would have been hard, though, because, like you said, you listened. You were hosting on the David Show, and you couldn't even remember what I gave him for Christmas.
No.
But
you have to realize, like, what I always get yelled at about this show is I don't remember. Like, people, like, a message on Facebook and be like, oh, I called him. And I'm like, yeah, I got nothing. Or, yeah, do you remember? No, I don't remember. Like, all the shows blend together. It's been, like, 2 years. How many days? How many shows you think we did in 2 years?
A million. I've been here a little over a year, and, I mean, it's like, 2 years for me will be, what, August? And,
yeah.
I mean, it's all a blur. It is all a blur. Sometimes I'll listen to old episodes, and I'm like, I can't even remember hosting that show. What did you say, James?
I can't believe I've been working for y'all for a year.
Yes. I'm telling you, you were the first intern to actually stick around. We had, like, interview prior to you coming on board. So that's why you are the fabulous, the wonderful, the infamous. You actually deserve all those adjectives.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. Honestly, this is by far one of the coolest things I've ever gotten to do. So, and being able to go with you guys to New York and go with y'all to Lexington and the conventions that are coming up in August. Like, I never would have imagined being able to travel as much as I am, as much as I'm going to be in that hall. And so it's just, it's really cool, and I really enjoy it. And I love you guys, and y'all are the best bitches ever.
Aw, well, we love you too. I mean, we seriously do. I mean, I will say this. James is one of those people that, he takes care of so many things. Things we tell him to, and what blows our mind are the things that we don't tell him to take care of, and he just takes care of it. Like, it's just clockwork. So, we're very happy. Very, very happy. Proud parents of our first uncensored baby.
And we have to give out
a man.
A shout out to Miss Jennifer Mulholland, who has been listening since Leah Remy, but then apparently she just said that she's gone back and listened to the first episodes, which is frankly a little concerning to me because it was bad. It was real bad. So she's been our longest listener that is here every night, and when she's not, like, I think there's been, like, once or twice she said to listen on demand because she was in, like, you know, a hurricane or tornado or earthquake or something.
Or, like, she had a life.
The poor girl. Yeah, so it's been crazy. But, you know, it's that time. Cindy is on the line waiting for us. So
yes.
I say let's jump right into this. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, Jeff.
How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
I'm okay. I'm tired, but I'm okay.
I can imagine. Okay, so for all of our listeners, this is my friend Cindy, who's sister was basically beaten and stabbed to death, and she's going to tell us a little bit about it and how you can make a difference. So, Cindy, if you just want to tell everybody, you know, kind of the as much as you want to.
Okay. Well, my sister was murdered on August 5th, 1982, by a man named Howard Marnell. He was already on probation at the time that he murdered my sister for attempting to abduct and accost a woman in a store parking lot just like 8 months earlier.
Wow.
And he had prior convictions that were sealed because he was under 18 at the time, and he was 20 years old when he ended up murdering my sister. So he has a pattern of violence towards women and attacking women, and he attacked her with the intent of making sexual advances at her, which, you know, he knew she would deny, so he came prepared with a large hunting knife, and he brutally beat her. And
it's not a pocket knife, to which I've read in one of the reports that he was trying to say it was a knife that was in his pocket, and this is not a knife that you just leave in your pocket.
No, this is a large hunting knife with a large hunting sheath that you would wear on the side of your pants.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Is there any information as to how someone like him even becomes a person like him? Because this, I mean, when Jeff was telling me the story, I got chills. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, who's this crazy? I mean, who gets this crazy that does something this horrific? In the case, or when they were, you know, obviously convicting him, was there anything that came up in court that shed some light as to how he became this monster?
Well, I think they showed a pattern in his progression of crime from,
mm-hmm.
you know, the time he was very young to right up through till he did the ultimate crime.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely showed patterns of crime progression and violent progression.
Right.
And, you know, it was a case of the system not working.
Right.
It was, you know, he should have had more than probation for trying to abduct that woman in the parking lot at a suburban store.
Right.
She was too afraid, according to the district attorney, to testify against him in court. She was scared to death of this man.
Oh, my gosh.
What he's capable of. And he had her name and her address, and so she didn't want to testify against him.
Right.
So that led them to give him a, you know, reduced sentence that he would plead to.
Right.
And he did some community service, and the man was married to another one of my sisters and had everyone believing it was he had taken something from a vehicle that he wasn't supposed to, from
mm-hmm.
work or something. So he was like getting a slap on the hand for this minor theft. And it turns out that, you know, that wasn't the case at all. But the man was, you know, he lived a double life. He could be anybody he needed to be in the presence of whoever he was in.
Wow.
After he committed this terrible murder for my sister,
mm-hmm.
you know, he had cut his own hand, put the knife through his own hand while he was stabbing her and fighting her. And so while she lay dying in the house, he went in the bathroom, washed his hand up. He wrapped it in one of her monogrammed wedding towels because it was her one-year wedding anniversary that weekend. And, you know, bandaged himself all up. He made sure the phone lines were cut, and out he went. Took himself to the hospital, claimed it under workers' comp, went home, you know, took his bloody clothes because he was a mess from the murder scene, was very brutal, and rolled them up in a bag and shoved them in the back of a hidden area of the house. He,
uh-huh.
and he, you know, moved the things in the garage so he could put the car in the garage. So when the police called or came, they would be driving my sister's car instead of his.
Mm-hmm.
And he proceeded to shower, go out shopping with my sister, have breakfast, have lunch, do all of these normal things until the police called because she was found.
Wow. And
then he sat with us all. They didn't actually formally arrest him until, like, it was after midnight. So that entire day, the police had called all of us and had us meet at my aunt's house right down the road from the murder scene and questioned us all. And he was right there with us. And he was talking to the police about how he hurt his hand at work. He was, you know, nonchalant. He was calm. He was cool. He was collected. He was, he had his face covered, he felt. On the way to the hospital, he threw the towel, bloody towels out the window. He threw the knife out the window. Some kids found it playing a day later, covered in blood, and they turned it into their mother, who called the police.
Oh, my God.
So then they walked the streets from my sister's house to community hospital, and they found the towels. They found all this evidence that he had thrown out the window on the way to the hospital. Along the way. So, you know, they had ample evidence against him in the long run.
Where we are right now is that he basically was sentenced to, what, 30 years of prison?
No, actually, he was given the minimum sentence. Judge Cunningham at the time gave him, it was October, and the November election year was up, and he needed his docket cleared, and he said he didn't care what it took. He gave the man the minimum sentence to make the case go away to clear his docket.
Wow.
And he didn't even take into consideration our point of view or what we wanted as a family. He thought he was saving the taxpayers a lot of money. He got an easy confession and said, you know what, we can just keep him in by denying his parole. We'll just give him this 15 to life, and he'll be content with it, and all is done. And the DA assured us it would keep him in until he was too old to hurt anyone else.
Right.
And I'm not sure that...
And he's up to be released, correct?
Pardon me?
I just want the audience, because in case they haven't read the articles we've been putting on our Facebook wall, he's basically up for release at this point, and this is what we're trying to block, this is what we're trying to stop.
Exactly. He is walking out the door on the 16th of April. He is being released to Onondaga County, because they released him to where the crime occurred, to Onondaga County on the 16th of April.
Wow.
And, you know, I have no doubt his own family, his own brothers, his own family is fearful of him getting out, let alone my family, who he has connections with. He had a daughter and a son with my sister prior to doing this crime. You know, we all thought he was this together kind of person because he could live these two lives, but he has this horrible rage that when it flares up, he attacks women.
Right.
And that's not something you can change. It's like a Jeffrey Dahmer. He cloaks himself like a chameleon.
So what can our listeners do? Oh, go ahead, Jeffrey. I'm sorry.
No, I really want to point out, like, you know, again, I think one of the most scariest things about this is that he could do something like this and then go sit with you guys. If that does not say everything that you need to know about what this man is capable of, for somebody to go sit with the family members and his wife, whose sister he just murdered, like, that's not somebody that has any remorse at all in their body.
Mm-mm.
And trying to
So what can our listeners do? What can they do to help your family, help, you know, obviously honor your sister's memory by helping this? What can we do to keep this guy in jail? Like, what do they need to do?
Well, what we need is to make a big enough public outcry that they will reverse his parole decision. It doesn't happen very often, but it has happened on a few occasions. To get that done, we need letters. We need, you know, we have a Facebook page up called Support Sandra Ulrich and Family.
And it's in the chat room right now, so if you're listening and you're in the chat room, the link is up. If you're just listening online, the link is in our little box where it tells you all about our show. You can click on that link. You can go there. It's on our Facebook page. It's on our Twitter. It's on all of our personal pages. So please go click that link and like the page and share it with your friends.
Yes, please.
That's right. And on that page we have quick links to letters to the Commissioner of Parole, quick links to letters to the governor. You will also find on there the letter that District Attorney Fitzpatrick sent to the parole board himself, which is gets pretty explicit into the nature of the crime and how brutal it was.
Right.
And, you know, I think when people read that, I think they have to make that decision. Are they more afraid of this man being their neighbor, or do they want to take 5 minutes and send this quick link that we have set up out to the
mm-hmm.
district attorney, out to the governor, out to the Commissioner of Corrections to keep him in?
Right.
His own family has gone on television. We've been on News Channel 3. We've been on Channel 5. We are airing on Channel 9 tomorrow night. You know, to get this out, we've been on 104.7, various other radio stations. And
right.
we're trying to get as much public outrage out there as we can to make them reverse this decision.
Right.
We have been asked if, you know, this is more like of a revenge thing, wanting to keep him in this long. But
mm-hmm.
it has nothing to do with that. This has to do with the fact that I have a daughter, that I have friends that have daughters, that I have a niece that has daughters and sisters. And it has to do with what we lived with and what we lived through and not wanting someone else to do it. We just had that
right.
horrible murder in Cicero of that woman. The guy cut his ankle bracelet off and murdered her. And this is
right.
the kind of guy that will do that. He will take that
right.
opportunity to attack when he can.
Wow.
And right, and if
wow.
nothing else, his actions alone show that, and if anybody has studied psychology, they're going to know that somebody like this does not change. 30 years being
right.
locked up is not going to make a difference to this man. He's only, what, 52? Like, he
yeah.
is still able, and I don't even think at 82 that would be okay to let him out, because people like that don't change. They will find a way. That's what they thrive off of.
Right.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Well, you know what I want you to do? I would love for you to tell us about your sister. Because so many times we hear about the person who commits the crime, and, you know, I want to know about the person, you know, who unfortunately is no longer with us. And I think by people knowing a little bit about her will help people relate. Like you said, if you've got a sister, if you've got a daughter, if you have a niece, I mean, it's just a crime. This man has committed multiple crimes against women. And I think having a little bit of backstory just about her can maybe possibly, you know, get people to just, if you're afraid to do it, maybe knowing a little bit about who she was and what we've lost, you know, may help them get over that fear. If you don't mind talking a little bit about her.
No, that's fine. No, she was actually, she was one of those kids that you would call a goody two-shoes in school. You know, she never smoked a cigarette, never tried one. She never had a desire to take a drink of any kind. You know, she was, even through high school and graduating high school, she was just that kind of innocent, you know. And it was,
mm-hmm.
She thought everyone deserved kindness. And she was the kind of person that would be such a good listener. If you needed a friend, you know, she was so gentle-spirited, and she loved to paint and draw. She was an artist, and she did beautiful work. She had pictures hung in museums in New York and in the Everson. She won numerous scholastic awards in school for it, for her art, and she married her high school sweetheart. And they bought a house together, and they didn't even move in until after their wedding.
Oh,
and so it just goes to reflect what kind of woman in character she had.
Right.
You know, that she was. She, they bought this small house, got it all set, had their wedding, had their honeymoon. They moved into this house. Their one-year wedding anniversary, their car wasn't working so great because they're a young couple starting out, and
mm-hmm.
I was her maid of honor, and we were very close, so I drove them. We spent the weekend at Darien Lake, which is like an amusement park out here in New York that had opened up. It was like the latest new theme park to go to. But we were kids, and that was fun, you know, and that's what we did.
Right,
but
right.
That was her kind of indulgence, you know. It was, that was her crazy, wild thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
She was just,
go to Darien Lake and ride the roller coasters.
Yep.
Wow.
And, you know, she had so many people that just kept commenting to us about how kind and sweet she was. They just couldn't imagine it because she
right.
was really kind of angelic in that way. You know, she
right.
didn't have any fights or issues or, you know, she was more the person that walked through the halls that nobody noticed, but
mm-hmm.
was as sweet as could be, you know?
Right. Wow.
So.
She sounds like a beautiful, beautiful person, and I know she was, and I know she's missed. And if you're listening, you guys know we're not a local show. We are a national show. We've got listeners, over 100,000 listeners, and we have got people from Australia to, you know, my backyard. So needless to say, if you have been if you have it on your heart to do something good this month, this week, this moment, please go on that Facebook page, like that page, go to the quick link. Please click on that quick link so that you can, you know, get your signature, your support to, like she said, the district attorney, the parole board, everybody. They need to
and
not let this man out. We need a miracle.
A minute. It only takes a minute.
We need a miracle.
Truly. Only takes a minute of your time. And this guy is said to be released April 16th. I mean, we're running out of time.
We need a miracle. We need a miracle. And
yep.
I know our fans are amazing, and they have come through for us so many times. So if you feel it on your heart, do it. It's the right thing to do.
Yes.
And it's easy as going and liking a Facebook page.
Mhm.
Right. Right. We need more. Yep. Our Facebook page counter, for some reason, isn't showing correct numbers. We're not sure why. But when we go in and we look at the list of people who liked it, it's greater than the number that it shows on the likes. We're not sure what's going on with that. But
how weird.
Hmm.
But
you know what, though? Just please, please, please show your support. Tell your friends about it. It doesn't stop here. Tell everyone you know. I've seen you guys rally for things that are far less important. Maybe it's important
yeah.
to us at that moment, but this is... I mean, this is beyond. Like I said, when Jeffrey was telling me the story, it gave me chills. And I just feel like that is God's way of saying, you got to do something. You guys have got to say something, do something. And I hope that we're able to help you. I really do.
And truly, I mean...
testing on Wednesday morning in front of the Capitol building in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody wants to come out and join us, so far we've got about 35 people that are coming. Join us if you're in the Albany area and you want to stop by and grab a shirt or grab a flyer and, you know, take a few trips around the Capitol building with us. Feel free. We are welcoming anybody we can. We're
mm-hmm.
also thinking about doing it in downtown Syracuse at the parole board there, because the three people on the parole board, two of the three voted yes, which is why he's getting out. They reside.
I think you absolutely should.
Board. So,
yeah, you should.
So we're going to be making a stance that way because they will not see us in person. He is allowed to face the parole board in person, but we are not allowed to oppose him in person to the parole board. That's another
wow.
one of those glitches. So
right.
if people want to show their support that way, since they won't give us a face-to-face meeting with them, then that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
So Wednesday, Albany will be there with bells on, and that'll be during the day. We plan on arriving there about 10 and staying there till about 4:30 when the building closes.
Right.
So.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and
like our page,
we will continue to spread the word.
Yes, put the letters out.
Go ahead.
That's it.
Yeah, make sure.
Put those letters out. We need them. This guy is going to be our neighbor. He is going to be, he's going to be there when somebody walks out the mall door. He's going to be there when somebody, you know, closes up a shop at night, or their kids are walking around, you know, the college campus or whatever. I mean, it's just a matter of time.
Right. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when.
Right.
This guy is definitely a danger to society. And frankly, I don't want him as my neighbor. And I don't want to see him released because he's dangerous. And we don't need to lose another sister, a cousin, an aunt. Like, it's just crazy. And the fact that this has even been considered just kind of makes me sad to say that I'm from this area, because it should have never even been a question. This man needs to be locked up.
With no parole. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Any other judge would have gave him, the severity of the crime would have gave him that.
Two times, in 2005 and then again in 2009, he sued the parole board for denying him a parole. He used our taxpayer money to sue them because they felt he was still a danger to society as listed in the parole board minutes. But this year, for some reason, he's not a danger, even though he was last year.
Wow.
Which makes
and
no sense.
And I think it has everything to do with the budget and the fact that, you know, he's brought them to court on their money, on their dime, and wasted their time, and they're just trying to get rid of a thorn in the side.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for your family. And thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story and being so brave and telling it.
Well, thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we will definitely be keeping everybody updated. We're going to talk about this every night. We're going to plug the page every night. And I'm going to keep looking on this page to see the friends of our show on that page, because it just takes a moment. And I'm telling you guys, the letter that you can send to the parole board, it doesn't even take 5 minutes. It's so simple.
Right.
And all
and
you
I
have
know
to do
a lot of you have
like
multiple
10.
Facebook pages, so you can go on each page and like that page multiply.
And you can share it, because here's the thing. If everybody we know shares this page, there's a chance that by the 16th, the story could get picked up by a very huge news
national
network.
National news. Yeah.
You know, and you can take, you can see on my Twitter, Jeffrey Emmett, where I tweeted to some celebrities about this page and asked them to help retweet it, and they did. So that's something you can do. If you know a celebrity, Anderson Cooper, you know, you name somebody, tweet to them the link to this page and ask them to help keep this man in prison. And you will be surprised at the people that will retweet and repost this stuff on Facebook.
Somebody
yeah,
tweeted to Nancy
Grace.
Grace. Nancy Grace gets outraged by these type of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Nancy Grace,
she
we have tried to
advocate.
Get a hold of her, and we have not been successful. We put calls out to them. We put calls out to YNN and CNN, and I think no one wants to get in it. It's kind of messy, and this guy is somebody to be afraid of, I guess. So, you know, it's a matter of what's more scary, him being next door to you or down the street from you or in bars, behind bars.
Right. And it's not even a question. I mean, if you're afraid of somebody, I mean, what would you do if you ran into this man? You know, and the fact that he's going to be out and he has children and all of these relatives that are still around, what do you think he's going to do? Do you think he's going to just not do anything and try to contact these people? No. He's going to menace in their life because he can. Because that's his personality type. So we have to make a difference, and we have to stop this. There's no question about it. We have to stop this from happening.
Right. I agree. Well, thank you once again. Thank you so much for being so courageous and sharing the story. It takes a true warrior And I know it's probably very easy for you to fight for your sister, you know, and I just pray for you and your family, and I pray that people are listening to what you guys are trying to accomplish.
We do, too. We do, too. It really is. It's all about not letting anybody else experience what we've been through. It is horrific. The new orders, the legal fees that we have incurred, the fight my sister had to fight to get a divorce. My sister had to fight for him to not have visitation. She fought everything all the way along the line.
Even when somebody he's in prison, he can fight?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
The system's set up that way. You always have a right, which is crazy. I think if you could kill someone, you should lose your rights. You lose your freedom,
yes.
But you don't lose rights. Criminals still have rights, so it's crazy.
It is. It is. And we just, we just really want it out there. We're just trying to get it done. So,
mm-hmm.
Like our page on Facebook, write those letters. Senator Velasky wrote a nice supportive letter for us, and write your congressman, and they will send letters. And all of those letters in combination, they told us numbers are important in politics. So unless
they
we
are.
Share numbers, we're not going to have as much weight. So
right.
Let's get it out
so
there.
Again, everybody, the link is up in the chat room. It just takes a minute. Please go click that link and go like the page and scroll down and just send the letters. It will just take a minute of your time. And James just posted the link again, so it's up fresh in the chat room. Please go take a moment out of your day to go do something for somebody else. And frankly, keep a man, a murderer, where he belongs.
Can you say that link out loud for those people who aren't in the chat room, Jeff?
Yeah, it's facebook.com/support Sandra Ulrich and family. It's
yep.
Olrich.
That's right. And it's Sandra, Sandra, Ulrich. Yep.
So go and click that link, kids. And Chicky, you go kiss those babies for me and tuck them in.
Zoe is ready for bed, so.
I thought I heard one of them howling. I was like,
yes.
Only when mommy's on the phone.
Yes, all over my lap while I'm on the phone.
Oh, that's how they are. And I'm going to see what I can do about going Wednesday. I'm going to work on that.
Awesome. Well, we can carpool. So,
all right, Chicky.
Let us know. The more we get, the better.
Okay. I will give you a call in the morning, afternoonish, when I figure it out.
Okay. That's awesome. All
right.
Well, thank you very much for covering this. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. It's
You're
the
welcome.
Least we can do.
The very least.
All right. We'll go try to enjoy your night, and we're going to keep this fight going.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Good
Thanks.
Night.
Bye.
Night.
Bye.
Oh, it just rips my heart apart. It really does. Knowing
yeah.
Cindy, knowing, the family, it's very, very tough. So please go and like that page. I know there's many of you, and I haven't seen all of you like that page yet, so I'm going to be looking. And just you can leave some kind words for the family, Say that you heard Cindy on the radio and that you just wanted to do something for them, And
mm-hmm.
I'm sure they would appreciate it because I can't imagine having somebody that, your sister, your best friend, taken away from you in such a horrific way by your brother-in-law. I mean, it's really horrific.
Right. Someone so close. And like she said, how he was there. Like he just, was with the cops and made up the whole story of hurting his hand at work and had no feeling. Murdered her and then went to the went shopping with his wife. Like, what is that?
How do you
crazy.
Murder somebody and go shopping with their sister and act like nothing happened?
That's he's just a sociopath. But I mean, you obviously, people like that aren't of right mind. But it's scary. It's so scary. you know? And the reality is like she said, she goes, it's not that they're trying to keep him in there and they're not trying to get revenge. The reality is that he had a history. He did this. He victimized women throughout his life, and it got worse and worse and worse until, boom, he finally murdered someone and finally got caught.
And, you know, again, like she said, he cut the phone lines to the house. Why would you cut the phone lines to the house if you didn't have a plan? If something wasn't premeditated, how do you cut the phone lines to a house? And what she didn't get to say, and I was trying to remember things to have her bring up, was there was a woman in the neighborhood that jogged that identified him and his vehicle as sitting outside of that house in the mornings for multiple days. So he had been planning this whole situation for a while, which makes it even scarier. You know, I mean, it's just, it really is dangerous. And, you know, this family is not out for revenge. They're trying to save somebody else from going through what they went through, because it will be somebody's sister or mother or daughter or niece or cousin or friend that this is going to happen to. Because, again, it's not if, it's when. It's just the way it is. So again, go take a moment. Go to facebook.com/support Sandra Ulrich, SANDRAOLRICH and family. Support Sandra Ulrich and family is all one word.
Right.
So
all
please
one
go.
Word. And you know what? I've been listening to you talk, and guess what? I just did it. It was that quick. That's how quick it is. So make sure you do that.
If you scroll down the page, they have the links where you can send right to the parole board. And if you just click that link, I'm telling you, it takes just very little longer than it does to like the page to send in the letter to the parole board. And I'm actually going to pull the link now. And I'm going to post it again on our website or on our Facebook page. And I'm going to post right now the letter that the district attorney wrote, which is just, I mean, it does get into more graphic details. And it's just, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Oh, and there's video up on YouTube. We're going to post that. I'm like, how do I recover? Like, I'm not even sure that I could talk about anything else after this. Like, it's one of those things that you get wrapped in. And, you know, I have not been able to stop thinking about this and what the pain that you have to go through, that you have to relive this now.
Right. I mean, it's just horrific. And I mean, if you didn't hear it in her voice, you know, it's one of those situations where you could hear the pain in her voice. Even, you know, this happened in what, 1982. What was the year?
82.
I mean, it's been 30 years and it still hurts. You know, her life was cut so short.
A year into marriage. Like, it was her year. They were her wedding anniversary. I read on the page because they have pictures up, you know, some stories up. Her wedding anniversary was August 1st, and she was murdered on August 5th. You know?
Wow.
A year. Just a year.
Wow. Wow.
It's heartbreaking, you know? And then again, like, they spent I thought it was giving me a kick the other day when she was telling me, you know, because for those of you that are not from New York and don't know, Darien Lake is, like, literally you can throw a stone and hit it from where Joe's family lives. It's down the street, and it's, like, this amusement park, and it was for, like, 10 minutes, it was, like, a Six Flags, and it's not. But, so, you know, like, it's not, like, a huge, cool theme park. Like, it's kind of a dorky little, you know. So, like, it was just kind of, it's truly funny that that's where she chose to spend her wedding anniversary.
Wow.
You know, it just shows you the type of person. Like, it's just kind of goofy, you know, and silly. But they were in their early 20s, like she said, so.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Where I would have been like, Joe and I spent one anniversary at happy hour at Swabby's, you know. That's how we roll.
You are funny.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy. Like, yeah. So please, please, please. I see you all in there. I see a bunch of people have said they've gone and liked the page. But just go and send that letter.
Mm-hmm.
So
and,
simple.
And let's figure out why the Facebook numbers aren't going quicker. Like, I don't
know. I know. I was trying to figure that out. I was just trying to look at, like, our controls for our page.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot for the life of me figure out. Oh, they're
wow.
all asking what the DIN number is. Oh, dear. I have it downstairs written on an Etch-a-Sketch.
Oh, Lord.
It's right in the letter. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Okay, I'm going to post his name. And I'm going to post the link again with his information.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good old Bree. She's like, what's his DIN number? Gotta
oh,
love her.
We love Bree. She's all over it. See, she's thorough.
That's right. She's like, what's his DIN number? Girl, I'm going to get it to you right now. It's on a link. Oh, nope, that's my timeline. Right on Uncensored Radio's page. It's on there. And then I'm going to post it on my personal page, too. So for those of you, it's there.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you.
Let's get him. You know I'm all
mm-hmm.
about justice.
Well, you know what it is? We just need a miracle. Like, the reality is, at this point, we need a miracle. The system has failed, and I believe in, you know, some people can rehabilitate themselves, but the situation is not one of those where he should have ever had the right to parole. He should have never had it. No one else would have gotten it for that brutal of a murder.
No,
like,
and did she,
yeah.
I don't know, I can't remember if we talked about it, but the judge actually is no longer a judge. Like, he was facing, I don't know what it's called, like disbarring, I guess, or whatever. And instead of
wow.
having that done, he resigned.
Wow. No, we didn't even talk about that. So that just sheds even more light. That's even more reason that God knows who else got, you know, an easy sentence because of this. I mean, obviously the system is set up as such that there have been people who have been falsely accused. There have been people who needed these loopholes to help them. But this isn't one of those cases. This guy did it. The evidence proved it. And he confessed to it. So, and he's got a history of being a horrible, horrible person. So.
It doesn't even begin to cover it. I mean, the things, you know, that it's unreal. Like, this guy is a sociopath.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
It's very, very scary
exactly.
to think that he will be in this region. And, you know, I know where everybody lives in that well, you know, at least Cindy does. And it's too close. It's way too close for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Way too close.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, like we said, guys, we need a miracle. We have, you know, we've had discussions where we've rallied for far less things and you guys have come to help us. So we definitely need you guys to help. And, you know, one thing I will say is I want to end the day off, the tonight's show on a happy
yeah.
note. We've got this amazing contest that we're doing. We've got this amazing picture you can win. And we know that, you know, our Power Ranger fandom is ridiculous.
Did you really
just
call it the fandom?
Yeah, they're the fandom. They know they're the fandom. And
okay,
they
anonymous.
Ridiculously love,
you
they
just blew your
ridiculously
secret.
Love Uncensored Radio. Huh?
You just blew your secret. Now they all know that you are anonymous.
Oh, I'm anonymous? Oh, man. No, I'm not anonymous. Like, I'm not even smart enough to be anonymous. Like, I'm not even smart enough to make that type of video.
That's amazing. But yeah, it is a fancy picture. It is a fancy picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry to interrupt you. Well, you know what else we didn't talk about? Okay, so again, this week, Catherine Sutherland is coming to co-host with us Wednesday. I can't wait for her to come on and join her Beyonce. And I've got to come up with a nickname for her. I haven't really come up with one yet, except for, well, you know, I have this bad thing. Like, I'm going to have to talk to her about it on air, is that I always call everybody bitch. And I think she was a little concerned. Like, she felt like she did something wrong because I was like, bitch. You know, so I've got to make sure she knows that that's not how I roll, but.
Right.
You know,
no, she's fine.
Yeah,
she's
fine.
She's got nothing else. She can take a joke. She can definitely take a joke.
I know. It's just a little scary for me. And then to make sure, tonight we have a premiere of a new show on Uncensored Radio. It's called The Schmooze. I'm kind of excited. I love the name so much better than the other name for that other show that was on last week that's no longer on. But it's The Schmooze with Daisy and Stephanie. So make sure you stick around and check it out tonight. It's a little revamped, a little different. Going to be an awesome show, and I'm excited to have a good role on a show. So make sure you stick around tonight in the second hour at 10 p.m. Eastern and listen to The Schmooze with Stephanie and Daisy. And
you know what
course,
else I forgot to talk to you about, Jeffrey, before the show ends?
What?
Did you hear that Kathy Griffin, her show on Bravo, got canceled?
Don't speak to me like that.
I'm not lying, I promise you. Got
Why?
Canceled.
Why would you say those words to me?
I thought you knew. It came out yesterday. The news hit yesterday, and I meant to talk to you about it on this show, and I was like, I cannot get off this phone until he knows.
No, you're lying. I cannot accept that as a fact. I'm going to Wikipedia right now because I'm just not having it.
Mm-hmm. Go look up Bravo. Just say.
Well, it said in
Kathy
April
Griffin
2013. It just said that her. Oh, it had not been. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait. It was later changed to 11:30. Oh, that is such crap. It is such a great show.
I think it's a great show. I think it's a great, but for whatever reason, no one was watching.
Oh, that's so horrible. Oh, and it just, like, ended. Like, that last one they had, that was it? Like, that's so.
That's Hollywood.
I'm not watching Bravo no more, and I would think Kathy Griffin will be done with them after this.
How can you not watch Bravo? You know what?
Because I don't care about those Housewives shows. That's not my thing. I got Dallas.
No, listen, this is the thing. There have been so many rumors and so many talks that her and Anderson Cooper are going to be doing the show. Because you know his talk show got canceled. So I think there's a little more to the story. We need to wait till how it all unfolds.
Well, are they going to be like the new Anderson and Kathy?
Like, yeah, it's almost one of those. They said that was the rumor that, you know, they're best friends and you know how they do. Well, I don't know if they're best friends, but they're really good friends and how they always do the, you know, New Year's Eve kind of thing. And
right,
they were like,
right.
They're developing a show for the both of them. So I don't know if that meant, you know, I don't know. But needless to say, you know, CNN, they've got great ratings during the day, but at night they have horrible ratings because nobody watches the news. But they were thinking of rolling out this new show. So
I would watch Anderson and Kathy because the two of them are hysterical together.
Hysterical. So that's the
and
thing.
I love
Let's
him.
Wait and see how it all falls. How it all. How the
it was very sad that his show got canceled because to me he was my new Oprah. Mm-hmm. And
I
would just like
him.
To say, Jennifer in the chat room is fresh because she said this thing goes through more co-hosts quicker than a kid off a slip and slide.
Yeah, we got that problem on this channel. We have got that problem.
We do.
Oh, people,
it
you
happens.
Know what? They're working for free, so what happens?
So, and there's a big announcement tomorrow on No Rules, Just Mike, so make sure you're tuning into that. And please, go to the Facebook page.
Support Sandy Ulrich and family. Like that page. The link is in the chat room. It's in our information box. You can listen to the show on demand. Go and like that page. Please send the letters in. Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow. And stay tuned for the Schmooze.
Does the Schmooze have music? I'm just saying. I don't know. Could somebody tell me? I could just sit here and do a dance. No, you can't play this music.
That's what people need to play. And you're getting something else, I promise.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Well, hello, everybody. I hope everyone is starting off the week on a good note. And with that being said, I'm one of your lovely co-hosts, Daisy, and you may know me from Chick Chat, or the show formerly known as Chick Chat, but we here at Uncensored Radio believe in moving onward and upward, always, and Chick Chat has now been changed to, drum roll, please, the Schmooze. That's right, with Miss Stephanie and myself on the ones and twos, keeping you guys saucy. But,
hello.
Stephanie, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm a fabulous, chica. Now, before we get started, why don't you tell the kiddies that our new stuff here, you set up a Facebook page and a Twitter for us. The Schmooze it's about to get popping. So I'd like
the
for everybody
Schmooze
to
news.
The Schmooze news.
Yeah, so we have our Facebook page now. You can follow us, like us, share us, find out all the details of our upcoming shows. And you can find us on Facebook at The Schmooze on Uncensored Radio and on Twitter at The Schmooze UCR.
Nice, nice. Now, this is a whole new show, you guys. So if you ain't schmoozing with Stephanie and myself, then you're definitely losing. So do yourselves a favor, grab a drink of your choice, and relax while we start getting into our first story. Now, I'm going to let Stephanie take this one away because she was very, very adamant about talking about the NCAA.
Well, the tournament just sucks. I mean, I pretty much am like a crushed orange right now because, you know, my Syracuse Orangemen made it to the Final Four in the tournament, which honestly I didn't even think that they were going to even – do well in the tournament, but they did, and it was a pretty sad loss that they had just this past weekend, and I was hoping for a final championship game between Louisville and Syracuse, because this is our last year in the Big East. It would have been a nice matchup, but right now, Louisville and Michigan State, who beat Syracuse, are playing in the championship game. So, you know, I'm pulling for Louisville because Big East, you know, even though. But they're losing right now. So, screw the NCAA. I'm done. I'm moving on to the Knicks.
You know, I would love to show my enthusiasm. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I just heard James giggle. James is screening for us tonight, you guys. So, everybody say hello to James.
Hi, James. Hi. Thank you.
So, Miss Stephanie, you were totally talking Chinese to me right now. I did not understand a damn word you were saying, but you sounded cute saying it. So, you know, mazel tov. Talking about crazy shit that I don't understand. What is going on with Amanda Bynes? Can somebody please tell me?
The chick needs rehab.
She needs Jesus. Is what she needs. Like, rehab, cut it. Like,
yeah, okay, so the latest thing she had a eating disorder, supposedly, so that's why she has a hard time with her weight, she tweeted. And then, did you just see the article about her going to her gymnastics class?
Yeah, she went in, like, fishnets and a leotard or something like that and heels.
And she had a meltdown because when they were trying to do, like, some rolls on the mat, she just went off and did a cartwheel, and her black wig fell off, and she melted down and broke down crying, and they had to escort her out.
Well, I don't know if everybody follows me on Twitter, but I do because, well, it's entertainment. And I don't know if most of our listeners listen to the Jake Tetlin Show on Saturdays, but Jen has been tweeting Amanda Bynes like crazy for, like, the last 3 days. And, you know, and so is Perez Hilton saying that, you know, she was kicked out of gymnastics class, and now she's saying that she's going to sue all of the media outlets because she did not get kicked out of gymnastics. Like, who cares, really? You have to put that on Twitter? Like, who gives a fuck? I'm reading. Okay, hold on. Let me read to you exactly what her fucking post says. It says, "I'm suing every blog saying I was kicked out of gymnastics. What is wrong with you people? Question mark. What would you do if you found fake stories about you? All I'm saying is, yeah. Fake? Not so much. But, mm-hmm."
Yeah, well, it says on the source that I'm reading in the New York Post, it says she went to gymnastics class 2 weeks in a row, but the second time she was escorted out because staff were concerned about her manner and worried she might be a hazard to other people in the class. It said, in quote, "she immediately started acting strangely," our source says. "She lined up with the other gymnasts and each took their turn to perform a role. But Amanda just walked out on the mat, was spinning around in circles and mumbling to herself. Later, when others were performing cartwheels, Amanda did a cartwheel, but her wig fell off and she sat down and cried." The source added that after a number of other incidents where she was heard mumbling to herself, she was escorted out.
Oh, my God. Like, where are her family and friends? Like, seriously? Like, if Katrina A. Johnson, and let me just tell you, this bitch gets drunk an awful lot, and I'm usually the one reining her in, going, "No, no, honey, don't touch him. No, no."
Wait, I thought the horror stories were supposed to be contained.
Oh, that's right. If anybody saw Katrina's Twitter today, she was threatening violence against me. She said that I'm her best friend, but I need to keep my whore mouth shut about everything that I know about her. But if you guys saw what I tweeted back to her, I said, "All's fair on Uncensored Radio." And she cared to disagree with me, but at the end of the day, I will put her ass on blast because that's what best friends are for. I mean, right?
Ouch. It's a good thing I'm not on the show with Jeffrey.
Oh, I'm sure he would put your ass on blast.
He already has.
I know the murder trial thing, but who knows what else is on there? I'll have to talk to Jeffrey now that you've mentioned it and get some stories for the show.
Oh, no, no, no.
I love how quickly you're like, "No, please, no, no, no." But, yeah, like I was saying, with Katrina Johnson, usually, you know, I'll be like, "Don't touch him, honey. He'll bite." And, "No, no, that's not a toy." And we'll walk away and, you know, I'll kind of be calming her down. But where are Amanda Bynes' friends? I mean, where's her parents? Like, her parents, and most of you guys that know, Katrina was on All That with Amanda Bynes, so she knows that her parents were always up her butt, like, trying to figure out what she was doing and why she was doing it. And so why aren't they concerned for their daughter now? Like,
well, she's a grown woman now. She's not a little girl anymore.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, like, if my brother I see is going fucking crazy, because that's what it is, if you're mumbling to yourself in the middle of an auditorium of a public establishment, you're either
in fishnets.
What?
In fishnets.
In fishnets. I mean, was she talking in tongues? Is the bitch possessed? Like, what's going on? I want to know. Where's the video?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Girl, the cocaine will not do that shit. She's, like, on Doc Salt or something. Like, pretty soon she's on 13. Like, it's just insane.
Well, speaking of hitting it, what's up with Ray J?
I heard the song. Did you hear the song?
I didn't hear the song. I didn't listen to it, but I know all about it, and I know about his lyrics that are, what is it? It says, he doesn't leave any doubt. The lyrics for the song directly reference Kardashian's history of dating athletes and her current relationship with rapper Kanye West, whom he is expecting her first child. She might move on to rappers and ball players, but we all know I hit it first. I had her head going north and her ass going south, but now baby chose to go west. No matter where she goes or who she knows, she still belongs in my bed. Woo!
You know, I'm kind of surprised that Kanye hasn't fired back. Like, Kanye is notorious for trying to, like, start shit lyrically.
Yes, but you know what's funny, though? Like, Kanye's kind of, like, a creep about this shit, too, because I had read a while back, like, when him and Kim first started hooking up, like, he already had, like, all Kim's porns, and the chick he was, like, smashing before that was, like, an identical replica of Kim.
Was
it
really?
Crazy. Like, yeah. But either way, I mean, seriously, Ray J., come on, leave them the fuck alone. Nobody cares.
Well,
and I guess in the video, he like blurred the image of their sex tape.
Are you? That's fucking hilarious. Like, seriously, I want to see the video now just because you said that. I had no idea. That's
I know.
Funny. But think about it. Like, I'm sure you've seen this picture. It's floated around Facebook. It's floated around Twitter. It's that Kardashian, like, you know how they always take those Christmas photos on the stairs? It's one
yeah,
of those
yeah.
pictures, and it's him, like, right in front of all of them saying, I made this family famous with my dick.
I saw that before.
I've seen it, like, a million times, but it never gets old. And it's like... And it's true, though. He did make them all famous. She got famous with the sex tape. Like, all of a sudden, she blew up. People knew who she was. Like, she was a stylist before. Like, she was around, you know, this crowd, but she wasn't famous. She didn't sing. She didn't dance. She didn't act. She wasn't, like, majorly rich, like Paris Hilton rich.
Does she sing, dance, or act now?
But you know what? Like, I'm mad at her. She capitalized on her fucking nakedness. And
she
and
did. That's how they write Ray J made the song, because he's pissed off he ain't getting none of that money.
I'm sure, but that's the thing, though. Like, I'm sure he's like, well, fuck her. She got her 15 minutes of fame off of me. Well, I might as well capitalize on it. And because he's had songs here and there, but I don't think that he's ever had an album that hits, like, really hard. Like,
no, they said, like, his acting career sucked since 2008. He hasn't had an album since 2008, and his acting shit just didn't take off. So, really, he doesn't, you know, I think, and plus then there was that situation, you know, like, with him and Whitney, too. So I think, like, Ray J is pretty much done. So this was probably his last attempt at trying to get some publicity for people to listen to his song. And his song's probably – how was the song, though?
I mean, it's catchy. Katrina and I heard it at the same time. We're like, I hit it first. Like, it's really catchy. But I don't know. Like, my whole thing with Ray J, though, is, like, he's had songs that have hit here or there, like the Sexy
True.
Can I, and, you know.
One Wish,
here and there, he has pretty good shit, but I just don't know why he doesn't take off. And to be honest with you, like, I kind of think that, like, his association with Brandy brings him down. Because she's kind of just been off the face of the earth.
Yeah, like, she was going to be, like, a rapper or something, and that never happened. Or maybe it did and just didn't go anywhere. I never heard anything. But, yeah, I think, like, Their careers were ending when they tried to do, like, that reality show. And then he even tried to, like, date people. But it was just for a check. You know, I don't think, like, nobody really cares.
Well, didn't he get one of the girls from that I Love Ray J show pregnant? Didn't he get the girl with a on her face pregnant?
No, Danger, yeah. No, he didn't get her pregnant. Or maybe he did and she lost it or something. But after they split up, she ended up getting pregnant and having a kid. It wasn't his, though.
Okay, because I was under the impression, because I know that he did a I Love Ray J 1 and I Love Ray J 2, like, having his freaking ugly ass on the screen wasn't hard the first time. We had to watch it a second time.
Yeah.
she came on there and she was pregnant. She said that she was pregnant with Ray J. That's why I was like, what?
Yeah. Okay, I don't know about all the details of that either. So
somebody in the chat room, get to investigating. Let us know if Miss Danger is indeed had a child from Mr. Ray J, or if she lost it, or what's going on, because we need an update. Why?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's kind of relevant, kind of, but not really. But it's okay. We'll go with it. It's all right. So, with that being said, speaking of other crooners here, you were talking, and you kind of mentioned it a couple of times this weekend when we spoke about Rick Ross.
Yeah, I mean, I think really this is going to come down to, like, freedom of speech. Right now, he's under scrutiny for some lyrics in a song, which he basically said, put Molly all in her champagne, she ain't even know it. I took her home and I enjoyed that, she ain't even know it. So basically, he's condoning date rape or rape. And Talib Kweli called him out and said basically he's condoning rape and he should apologize. It's disgusting what he did, you know. But in rap music, you got people talking about selling drugs, killing people, having sex. It's not, you know, you can, when I see you, I'm going to kill you, you know what I mean? And nobody gets charged because of their shit that they're saying, because it's a freedom of speech. But in that role, I think you have to have, like, some kind of a responsibility. And even though I think, I don't know, my personal feelings is that, like, it's fucked up. Because there's little kids that listen to that shit who are popping mollies all over the damn place now. They think that's cool. I popped a molly. I'm freaking sweating. Woo! Okay, yeah, that's great. But do you know what you're really, do you know what's in that molly? It's like freaking crack, heroin. Like, who really wants to do that, you know?
But
I am, it's a real problem.
Hold on. Explain to me what did you call it? An amolly?
A molly.
Okay,
they're
so
like pills that are like supposed to be ecstasy or something, but they're not. They're like all a combination of a whole bunch of drugs in a pill.
So
it's supposed to be like pure ecstasy, but it's really not.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so it's like a big epidemic. But again, I mean, I think when you have a certain image to uphold and you're in the limelight like that, obviously Maybach Music is probably one of the strongest rap groups, you know, performers, Rick Ross, Meek Mill, all of them are really on top of the charts right now with everything. But the only problem is that where do we draw a line when we say we're not listening to this shit anymore? You know, because we got kids that are coming up here that are freaking nuts.
And yeah,
they're influenced by this. They're influenced by the things that people are saying. So now, you know, you're going to have like an epidemic, not only of people popping mollies like they already are, but now, hey, let's pop mollies and put mollies in bitches' drinks so they pass out and we can have our way with them. Like, come on. This world's already fucked up enough. What, like, really?
Well,
so
my thing on it, though, like, I know that a lot of people are going to say freedom of speech, but there has to be a certain guideline. Like, just as how we can't go to a theater and scream fire, like, I don't think it should be allowed that we can say, yeah, let's, you know, take this girl home and rape her because she doesn't know it. And, I mean, that's horrible. Like,
it
can
is.
You imagine, like, what was that football team that we talked about on Chick Chat where these guys, they did the same thing. In essence, this girl was passed it drunk. They did stuff to her. They
recorded
put it on their phone, recorded it. They sent it around school. This poor girl didn't know what happened. She didn't know what was going on. I mean, basically, this Rick Ross is giving them ammunition to say, hey, it's cool, it's fine, look at me, I'm making big money and I'm talking about rape, like, y'all need to do it. You know what I mean? Because kids are very susceptible to that shit. So
they are. And speaking of which, you know, it's really common these days to tweet lyrics to songs. I mean, I do it. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people do it. Everybody does it, you know. And Rick Ross and Meek Mill's lyrics just led to a police bust of more than 60 Harlem gang members because of their tweeting about the songs and social media. It says, according to an indictment released earlier today, members of Air It Out, True Money, Wode, and True Money bosses took to Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube to coordinate their moves. God forgives, I don't. Somebody's got to die, one alleged member of the gang, Air It Out. I'm two Glocks strapped, rolling down 112th Madison, 116th, this is the new Iraq, boasted another member. I'll give you 300 if you clap a trill or Wode before October, another said. So they ended up getting charged with numerous assaults, three murders, three shooting accounts, gun possession, and drug trafficking. Charges range from felony conspiracy to murder in the first degree to fourth degree criminal possession. So if that's not a lesson to you to shut the fuck up, you don't just tweet lyrics if you're really doing that kind of bullshit, because you're going to get fucked up. If you don't think that they're not paying attention to social media, you're crazy.
Well, especially now since social media is huge. Like, I'm talking about all over the world. Like, what was that little girl that just went missing and they were able to find her through Facebook? Because,
well, you can't even go to a stoplight without a camera anymore. Like, everything. Your social media is being monitored. Your phone calls, your text messages are being monitored. You're driving, you're being monitored. Everywhere you go, you're pretty much on camera. So if you're doing a criminal activity, why are you going to talk about it? They're going to find you. Stop posting pictures of your weed on the internet.
Because they're idiots, and they think that they're untouchable. And the fact of the matter is that they ain't shit. Like, at the end of the day, if you're making a criminal threat, they're going to fucking throw the book at you and put you in jail, as they should. It's just the same thing. Like, if I make a threat to you, Stephanie, and say, well, fuck you, I'm going to shoot your ass, yeah, people are going to be knocking at my door. I just threaten your life. Like, that's serious. Like, I don't understand. These idiots think that they're above some sort of a fucking code. No, you're not. And I hope you rot in jail. Sorry.
I mean, I think there's always been, you know, the thing about freedom of speech and expressing yourself in a song. There was just actually like a recent thing. There was like in our area, one of the football coaches like was illegally recruiting kids or whatever, and had them, like, living somewhere and, you know, buying them off. And it, basically, they all got busted. This happened in Skinny Atlas. And then the kid came out and made a rap song, which basically he was talking about how messed up everybody was and what he would do to them. And I think, you know, putting a gun up to the coach's face and some of that stuff came about. So they're, like, investigating the song, you know. So little by little, that Fifth Amendment stuff. I mean, I think this even happened, like, with, like, rock and roll and the hair band days, like, with Ozzy Osbourne. Like, he was always under scrutiny for his lyrics. And it always came down to the Fifth Amendment and freedom of speech. Like, you can't blame music or what someone else is saying for your actions. Now, if you choose to live your life like that, then you have to deal with the consequences that are going to come your way at the end of the day, you know.
There has to be an extent of where freedom of speech draws a line. I mean, if you're talking about criminal activity, if you're talking about raping someone, I don't think that that's necessarily. And you know what? I'm probably going to talk over myself because. And I just thought about this, but I love Eminem, but the Marshall Mathers LP, like, he did talk about that. He talked about raping his mother and shooting her and killing her, and a bloodstain turns orange three or four times once
you
wash it.
And doing drugs and everything, yeah.
Yeah, but, and how many, I think that there was two incidences where there were kids that they had done something and they had committed suicide after hearing that CD or that album. Like, even though these artists think that it doesn't influence people and that, oh, you know, it's on them, yeah, it is on them, but you also have a responsibility.
Yeah, just like we do for our mouth. I could choose to run off at my lip and tell everybody every day what I think about them. But because I can do that, I have enough self-control and sense to shut my fucking mouth and keep certain things to myself, you know. But again, it's a fine line. Again, I'm for freedom of speech, to be able to say what we want uncensored, anytime, any place, whether you're nuts, sane, whatever your views or your opinions are, speak them. However, you have to be aware of the effects and the consequences that what you say and what you do does and can affect other people. So when there's a bunch of teenagers going out there popping Molly and girls getting raped because it's cool in a rap song, what do we do about it?
Well, I mean, there's a choice, and I think that the choice is like most people used to do back in the days, you know, just start boycotting shit. Like, just,
yeah.
You don't want to listen to that, just don't fucking listen to it and tell everybody else not to listen to it.
True, like, everyone has a choice.
No, everybody does have the choice, but, you know, you also have the right, if we're talking about freedom of speech, to voice your personal opinions on it and share those with everybody else. I mean, you don't have to be limited, and you, because of social media and because it's so huge, you have the ability to reach several avenues of people of different walks of life and of different, you know, economic levels. So, yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, definitely, we can make a difference, like, all the time, especially, you know, even if
it's going to really come down to choices, Daisy. It's a choice to listen to it or not listen to it. It's a choice to allow and have control of your children listening to certain shit. And it's a choice to say, okay, I am or I'm not going to do this as a responsible adult. So everybody, at the end of the day, the music isn't going to change. People are still going to say whatever they want, whether it's talking about rape, killing, whatever. But we, the people, have to say, okay, I'm not listening to this shit. My kids aren't going to listen to this shit. Or if you do, do you have self-control? And those idiots that go out there that don't have it have to face the consequences for their actions. That's what it's going to be at the end of the day. Nothing's going to change.
Well, I think, too, like, the reason that the cops are making more of a big deal is because you have a lot of the people, like, the guy who shot up the Batman Theater, James Holmes, where he was making threats, and he was writing things down to the university and talking to the psychologist, and nothing was done. So a lot of these threats are now being taken very, very seriously because, yeah, they could be someone's thoughts. Or someone could be seriously fucked up and go through with these things. Like,
right.
Don't we all have one of those days where we wish that we could really, like, just punch somebody in the face because it's just, you're done? But you're not going to do it. Or most people wouldn't do it. But then there's that crazy mofo that you're just like, really? Did you just punch them in the face? And then
I might have been that person once or twice.
Exactly. So, but I mean, everything's different. Although I do have to confess that when I was in high school, Sublime was pretty freaking popular, and Date Rape was on. I mean, it was great because at the end, the guy got it literally in the end. But I mean, that was like one of the most popular songs when I was in high school, and I remember singing it like crazy. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
There was a difference. There was a twist to the story. It wasn't just about date rape. He talked about it, and I think that that's for the same reason that they separate prisoners in there. I mean, they separate the rapists and the child molesters from everybody else. Why? Because there's just a code, like it's a like moral ethical compass or something. Even murderers have it, apparently.
So they can just fuck each other and stuff.
Well,
being in regular population.
No, I thought that, like, if you were, like, complete, like, if you were gay, they held you in another cell.
But how fucked up is that? Like, because you're a child rapist or a raper or whatever, why do you, just because you run the risk of getting killed while you're in prison by someone who's in there for murder, oh fucking well. You know, why do they have protection? Did the victim that they raped and screwed their life up have protection? Why the hell would we protect those son of a bitches? You did the crime. You're going to prison now for that. Yeah. Well, never mind. Let's be real. Rapists don't go to prison. They only get probation. But but that's a whole other story in itself.
Well, no, I mean, but here's the thing, and you're giggling, which means that there's a story behind it, but...
No, I mean, if you really think about the laws, you know, you can take a 17-year-old kid who might have came up rough and is on his own at a young age, you know, and hustling is the only way he knows to get by. They'll take that young kid and throw his ass in prison for 10 years, but you got a repeat sex offender who's been looking at child porn and touching little kids, and he gets probation or a minimal jail time and doesn't ever go to prison. Like, it happens again and again and again. And it's like, what's the worst of two evils? I can protect my kids to say no to drugs, but how the hell do you protect them from a child rapist?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? That's why they made Megan's Law, and I'm kind of iffy on the whole Megan's Law thing, because I don't believe that some of the people that are on there should be. Like, literally, if you're 17 and you have sex with a 16-year-old, you can be put in there as a sex offender. Like,
yeah.
It just doesn't...
That's stupid.
That to me is a little ridiculous. Or, like, if you're caught, if you're an adult, and let's say, you know, I'm with my husband and we decide to get frisky out in public and start having sex in the car. If we get caught, we're registered as sex offenders. It doesn't matter that we're married. It doesn't matter that we're adults. We were doing it in public. Even though it was in my car, if we're caught, we have to register as sex offenders. And I don't think that that's necessarily true. Like, I don't think
that's crazy.
Isn't it?
Hell no. Like, that's real bad.
Oh, shit. So, girl.
I mean, I haven't had sex in a car in a very long time, but I'm just saying.
But I'm just saying, you need to be careful because, you know, you don't want to be registered as a sex offender. But no,
true.
Like, I do see, like, I've seen, like, the Megan's Law, like, I'll punch in my address or I'll just see who's around, you know, to see who the neighbors are, make sure that everything's on the up and up. And, like, especially around my folks' house, which is, like, L.A., I've typed in their address, and I've looked around, and it's like, you see these, like, 70- or 80-year-old men, and it says that they were just convicted, like, 2000 or 2001, 2002. And what kills me is when it says, like, what they were charged with, and it's, like, molestation with a foreign object. Or something like that.
Yeah, of an 8-year-old. You know,
yeah.
It's like, what
and
the
it's
fuck?
Penetration of an 8-year-old or something like that. It's like,
yeah.
Seriously, people? Like, seriously? Why aren't you burning in hell? Like, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't register.
And we protect these assholes. We protect them. That's, yeah, that's great. Anyways, I'm just going to get pissed off and start drinking now. Where's my gun?
Oh my goodness. Because, you know, we'll have people showing up at your door. You're going to be like, thanks,
Stacey. I'm going to have an anti-gun protest in my front yard in 5 minutes.
Oh, good Lord. Oh,
I'm going to go outside and shoot some shit in the air.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, it happens. What can I tell you?
Well,
but yeah, so
I think
Rick
we need
Ross.
A vacation to Cuba.
What?
I think we need to take a vacation to Cuba.
Oh, God. Are you talking about Jay-Z and Beyonce? Don't get me started. Seriously?
Yes,
you're
I'm getting you started.
I'm going to go off. But, yeah, I heard that Jay-Z and Beyonce took their 5th wedding anniversary in Cuba. And there's a couple of things that come to mind. And, I mean, number one would be there's an embargo. How the hell did you get there? That would be number one. Number two is, yeah, they do offer permits, but normally it's for people that have family there and it's for religious purposes. So I don't understand how they got there. I don't know. What do you guys think?
How did they get there? They paid money to get there. And you have to have certain papers to go there. Like you said, you know they don't have them.
No, not at all. I mean, even if they were to fly in there illegally through Mexico or some other shit where they flew directly to Cuba, they still have a U.S. passport. Like, I don't understand. And secondly, why would you want to go to Cuba? And trust me, I'm half Cuban, so I'm all for our, you know, I have deep patriotism for you know, my dad's heritage and where I came from and all that stuff, but I am not a communist, neither a socialist, and I vowed never to visit the land as long as it's a communist country. And it's sad. But it's like, what are Jay-Z and Beyonce doing? Are they endorsing communism? Are they endorsing people that have no money, that have no say, that have no power to do anything in the country? I mean, I love it because you have people like Michael Moore who go there and they say, oh, free health care, and it's so great, and it's so this, and it's like, you don't know the real Cuba because you are allowed to film certain things, only the best part, because why would they show you the bad part? That makes no sense, right?
Yeah, well, I'm looking right here, and it says that, let's see, in a letter written by U.S. Representatives Elena Ross Lieutenant and Mario Diaz, who represent districts in South Florida, where there's a high Cuban-American population, they asked Office of Foreign Assets Control Director Adam Zubin for information about the license the couple received, the purpose of their travel, and who approved the trip. And it said, despite the clear prohibition against tourism in Cuba, numerous press reports described the couple's trip as tourism, and the Castro regime touted it as such in its propaganda. So basically, they went out there, they visited a dance club, dined out at a high-level restaurant. So now they're facing inquiries from Congress about their trip and penalties for violating the ban, which could include up to $250,000 and prison time.
Do you think they care? They don't care. They
it
don't.
Said, however, thousands of Americans travel to Cuba each year, usually by way of other countries, and very few are prosecuted.
Hey, here's the thing. I still have family there. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. They can't leave, not legally. But I have family members. I have friends. And for example, I have two best friends. They're twins, and they were brought over prior to communism. And their father still has his brother there. So he's only allowed to visit legally through the U.S. once every 7 years. He's allowed to visit his brother, okay?
Wow.
So once every 7 years, and he's all about doing everything legally because he doesn't want any type of thing to screw up his citizenship here. There's no way in hell he's banned or he's going to go against anything. But it's like you have these people who are touring the country like Beyonce and Jay-Z. They're paying, you know, nickels on the cent, being taken to the palaces and this and that. And they're being shown a side of Cuba that is not shown to the people of Cuba. You have to realize that a lot of people don't understand, like, the seriousness of it. And my grandfather, worked for an American company when President Batista was in power, and he worked for Edison. He worked for Southern California Edison. He worked for the electrical company, and he worked as an accountant. So he made a lot of money back then for you know, the 60s. So he had a lot of say, a lot of power. Well, when communism started to happen, my grandfather put in for his visa to come to the United States. At that point, Castro overthrew Batista, or basically ran him out of the country, and everybody who had submitted in for a visa was then removed from their homes, removed from their jobs, and taken to the sugarcane fields to work. In essence, it was a concentration camp. Oh, that's right. People don't know about this because nobody talks about it. Okay?
You know, I come from the same background as you. The same thing from my Ukrainian heritage. Like, we all know about the Jew Holocaust, you know, all the millions of Jews that were killed in concentration camps. But it's the same thing. My grandparents escaped a Russia communist takeover of the Ukraine. And at that time, they had invaded Poland and the Ukraine. And my grandparents escaped. And my grandmother told me that, basically, they all had jobs, everything. But then they were all forced to work in fields for, like, a loaf of bread. And there was millions of people who starved to death because the ration of food. My grandmother told me that there was times that they would find a rotten potato on the side of the road, and that would be all that she had to eat for a whole week. So when my grandmother was pregnant for my father, they escaped the country. My father was born in West Germany, even though we're not German, we're Ukrainian, and came to this country and settled here and worked their tail ends off, you know, and did well. But, again, people don't know that there was millions of Ukrainian people killed because of communism. And it's the same thing, like you said, in Cuba. These people are out there working in fields and dying.
Yeah, well, and this is, like, my grandfather used to tell me stories. Like, he said that they would put laxatives in the coffee. They weren't allowed water. They would put ground up glass in the meat. So they could he couldn't eat. My grandmother had to sneak onto the field that night and take him food in order for him just to have freaking bread and water and survive. He worked at the concentration, well, I call them concentration camps, but the sugarcane fields for 3 years before he was allowed to go. And when he was allowed to go, they could only take the clothes on their backs. They weren't allowed any jewelry. They couldn't take any money, nothing. And my grandfather had a lot of money from then because he was working with an American company. He wasn't allowed to take anything. They were only allowed to take one spare change of underwear, and that was it. No toothbrushes, no toothpaste, no hair combs, no jewelry, nothing. Nothing. They had to leave it all there because he said that belonged to Cuba. And, you know, and my grandfather didn't care. He came over here. He put up a business. He did all his own stuff. My grandmother had she started sewing when he was in the concentration camp because she didn't have any other form of money. Like, he stopped working, so they took him to the freaking sugarcane fields. And my grandmother actually, when they came here, she made her own business and started an embroidery company. And she would embroider the Dodger jacket with she started embroidering the Dodger jacket. She embroidered the scarves for Michael Jackson, the scarves that he would throw off stage, the ones with the M and the J on them. So, like, they did very, very well for what they had. So that's another reason why, like, when everybody talks shit about, like, how bad the U.S. is and all this other stuff, it's like, it is what you make of it. If everybody else can come here and do shit, then why can't you?
Well, exactly. Like, my grandfather worked his fingers to the bone in a rope factory, for God's sake. But they were wealthy. Like, every time you came over, it was like, take this money, take it, take it. They were, like, shoving money down your throat because they just know the value of a dollar. So they can make it into everything. As long as everything was taken care of, anything extra they had, they always shared that. And that's what I love about them. You just, there's not people like this anymore. They don't make them like that anymore, you know. But, yeah, this country, you know, it is. Like, if you work hard, we all got the same 24 hours in a day.
Yep.
What you do with your 24 hours is on you. If your life sucks, do something about it. Bottom line.
Yeah. Well, what did James call me yesterday? I think he called me, like, Wonder Woman or some shit. Because I'm, like, doing 50 million things. Like, I have my regular job. I have the radio show. I have a side job. I am helping my brother with his master. Like, I'm doing, like, 50 million things along with going home, cooking, cleaning, and being a wife. Like, come on. If I could do all that shit, some people can just very easily send in topics once a week, and it wouldn't be a problem. But, you know, it happens. Yes, it happens, and you know what? There's no excuse for it. I don't feel sorry for you. We have the same hours in a day, just as you said. So, yeah, it happens. And yes,
you make time for what you want to do. You prioritize and you make the time. If you don't have enough time to do all the things you want to do, then you probably need to prioritize some things in your life.
Yeah, but back to the whole Cuba thing with Beyonce and Jay-Z, I'm very disappointed in them. I really am. Like, Cuba used to be a very beautiful place, but what they're seeing is through the lens of another person. Like, they're being...
Oh, of course. They probably were treated like royalty.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course they were. Of course they were. But at the end of the day, the people there suffer every day. Like, people work their asses off. I'm talking about 80 hours a day, like double overtime type of thing, and they will make $100 in a week. And
Yeah. They
will try to buy an egg, and an egg, one solid egg, will be $5. And they only make $100 a week. I mean, come on, these people are starving. Unless you're a communist, like, you're not going to have all of the things that everybody else has. And it's sad. It's really, really sad.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in them.
I'm so
Beyonce. You should have known better, Miss Single Ladies. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah. Well, we should talk about a big epidemic that we have is with lying ass people.
Well, I don't think Beyonce could have lied on this one. I mean, pictures are everywhere.
Yeah, whatever the reasons were for it. I mean, I'm sure it'll come out, but it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense as to why they would want to go there for their fifth wedding anniversary. I'm pretty sure they didn't really give a shit about the people in the country.
Absolutely not. Because it is what it is. People are always like that. What are you going to do with it? You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Missy, you were saying?
Yes, you brought up a topic about liars and how to spot a liar.
That's right. Go into it, girl.
Well, I mean, I think, like, everybody lies, but there's different levels of lying. You know, do you lie to hurt someone's, you know, you can say, oh, I keep it 100 all the time, but if your wife walks in a room and says, how does my new haircut look? Are you going to say that it looks like shit and make her cry? Like, so I think there's times that we all lie, but do you lie to protect your ass, to protect other people's feelings? I think it all comes down to the point of why you lie. Most of them are harmless, but some people really lie. They take lying to a whole nother level when they manipulate people. They take people for a ride. You know, there's so many people out there. It's kind of like a way of life now for people to just lie and deceit and see what they can get out of people, and that's how they live their lives.
Well, and I think that that's why a lot of people don't, like, especially at work, like, I try not to sugarcoat stuff and I try not to walk around stuff, especially since, you know, we're dealing with the government, we're dealing with a lot of stuff. I basically say it is what it is. It's black or it's white. There is no gray or in-between area.
Mm-hmm.
And I do understand, because sometimes I've done it where, you know, my brother will ask me something like, do you think my wife, you know, and he'll give me a scenario, and I'll lie, and I'll be like, well, you know, it's fine, it's not that bad, and when really I'm thinking, this fucking heifer is a bitch. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just, there's a point where you just go, it's too much trouble to tell the truth. Just let them live in some ignorance. You know what I mean?
But they're saying that lying is like at an all-time high. They're saying that high-stakes lying is out of control and it's costing us big bucks in one way or another. It's not simply a matter of quantifying losses in dollars. It's costing us emotionally and psychologically. We pay through the nose for deceit, whether it's increased insurance premiums, home and computer security systems, psychiatric or divorce, lawyer bills, or reputational damage. It's saying trust is under siege and at a premium. And it went on to say a whole bunch of different scenarios, but it says it's estimated that a typical organization loses 5% of annual revenue due to fraud. Mm-hmm. 1 in 4 Americans believes it's okay to lie to an insurer. 1/3 of all resumes contain false information. And 1 in 5 employees say that they are aware of fraud in the workplace but won't report it. And all of those things are crimes.
Oh, absolutely. But then you also have to think about, you know, how big the lie is that they're saying. And I understand, like, a whole bunch of little lies, it accumulates to a lot of money over a long period of time. But, for instance, Miss Katrina Johnson, which I'm going to put on blast again, like, she can't exactly lie about her insurance because, well, the bitch got into, like, 9 accidents in 2 years. Like, there's no way she could talk her way out of that or lie about it. So, I mean, her insurance company basically knows, we're taking a risk. And,
yeah,
you know, that's pretty much it. But, yeah, I do get it where, and I myself am guilty of it, like, my insurance company will ask me, you know, is my car for luxury or for commuting? And it's cheaper for me to say luxury because it is a luxury car. But, you know, if I was actually saying, no, it's actually a commuting car, I commute, you know, 60 miles a day,
mm-hmm.
My premium's going to go up. So
really?
I'm a liar, I guess. According to you, I'm a liar.
Well, I mean, it's saying, like, all over, you know, someone who's in a relationship that's being lied to, they go to a therapist, they're emotionally strung out, then it has effects on people's health, you know, so then they're sick because of a bad relationship, you know, so now all of our insurance premiums go up based upon people's lies, and it's the same thing. The more people lie in insurance companies, not saying health insurance now, but let's say car insurance. The more people who lie about their details of an accident or the, you know, how you're driving in a car or whatever, though, just because you're saving a buck now, you know, where do you think the insurance company is going to make up for that money? In the premium.
Yeah.
That everybody else is going to have to pay. So because of our lies, we're paying for it more so.
Yeah, but I guess, like, you, I mean, I guess you would have to seriously have everybody to stop lying for it to even make a substantial change. And is that going to happen? The likelihood
of it,
it's not going to happen.
But how do we spot a liar? How do you spot a liar?
Katrina Johnson actually gave us some really good tips on guilty pleasures on Friday.
Oh, did she?
How do you spot a liar?
Yes. You pay attention to their body language. I would have to go back and listen to it. They called me out a few times on some things, but also the way you spot it is you repeat a question. Like if you ask them a question and they don't give you a direct answer.
Oh yeah, they question you right back. What did you say? Or yeah.
You repeat the question like 3 times, and usually by the 3rd time, if the person's gonna tell you the truth, then they'll eventually break down by that third time. You all would have to go back and listen to it to get all of the tips, or ask Katrina herself.
And I think it has to do with their eyes too, their pupils.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
That if when a person tells a lie, their pupils dilate.
No, actually, and I know this because my line of work, there's, like, little tell signs for us to know who's lying. And if you're talking to the person and you ask them a question and they look to the left, like, up in the sky, like, up to the left, they're lying.
Ooh. Maybe we need to get a PI on the show.
Yeah, that and when they start off telling you, like, if you're asking them something and if they go, you know, I want to honestly tell you, like, that's a tell that they're lying. You never say that.
Yeah. Well, just like, and James said too. So, did you go to the party the other night? What do you mean, did I go to the party the other night? That's a liar right there. When they repeat the question back to you, they're lying because they're giving themselves more time to think of an answer. And a person who's not lying would say, yeah, or nah, I didn't even do that. I ended up doing this. You know, they give an explanation for the question. A person who's lying needs a little bit of time on the spot to think about it, so they repeat the question back to you.
Yeah. Definitely. So we need to be careful with people that do that. Oh, that and people that instead of looking at you in the eyes, they try to focus like in between your eyes or on your forehead. And you know how you can tell the difference, right? Like, you know when somebody's actually looking at your eyes or looking at your forehead or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another way that you can tell that they're just, they don't want to pay attention to you. Like they feel uncomfortable with the situation.
Right.
So,
okay.
Interesting. Another way to spot a liar is to put pictures up of Katrina Johnson's ex-boyfriend side by side, and then you will know who are all liars. I'm just saying.
I think we've all had one of those.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. She's going to kill me, by the way. She's going to be like, what the fuck? Why are you putting me on blast?
we might be hearing about you in a rap song.
I know. She's going to make a song that says, like, shut your whore mouth before I punch you in the face or some shit like that.
Katrina's going to come out with, I hit you first, bitch.
I hit you in your whore mouth, bitch. Speaking of rap, I told you earlier today, but I want to let everybody else know, I don't normally listen to rap. However, there is a set few that I will listen to every now and then, but I am, like, completely obsessed with Mac Miller at the current moment. I have heard of him before. I never heard of any songs that he did, but he's done that song with Ariana Grande, and I don't know about you guys over on the East Coast, but on the West Coast in L.A., that song is on fucking repeat on every station. And it's so I was like, what is this Mac Miller guy all about? And then I started looking at him, and I'm like, he looks like Eminem. Like, this could be his freaking brother. And then I was like, he raps like Wiz Khalifa. It's not so bad. Oh, wait a minute. There's like two or three songs that I like. And now I've caught myself downloading shit on iTunes, and my husband's like, you don't even listen to rap. What are you doing? And I'm like, I have no idea. I like me the
Stephanie's
Mac Miller.
Rubbing off on me.
I guess. I was like, listen, I don't know why I like him, but I do, so back off. Let me be. I want to, like,
let me shake my booty. Watch how I clean the house, honey. Watch how I clean the house.
Oh, goodness. I'm, like, obsessed with Knock Knock and Miss Pauls, and, like, I'm just, yeah, I'm apparently a Mac Miller fan now. Don't judge me. I'm sorry, y'all. It happened. So that's my guilty pleasure for the week. Do you have a guilty pleasure?
I cannot confirm or deny that.
Do you like the Mac Miller?
He's not my favorite. He's okay, but he's not real.
So who's your current rap obsession? Or what's currently on your freaking iPhone or iPad or whatever the hell
you have? Oh, God, I have too many songs to even artists to tell you. But I think my favorite probably of all time is, and that I can relate to lyrically, which is important to me, is Fabulous. I love him.
Fabulous.
We'll leave that alone.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's almost 8:00. That's why I was like, it's fabulous. Okay. So
yeah.
We got like a minute left, and I want to make sure that everybody knows to like our Facebook page and to follow us on Twitter now. So Stephanie, go ahead and give them those handles.
Our Facebook page is The Schmooze on Uncensored, and our Twitter is at The Schmooze UCR.
Yes, and you guys can follow Stephanie and myself personally. You can follow me at Daisy Concept.
And Mia MZ underscore KONYK. And we'll see you next week, guys.
We'll see you next week. Remember to hit that Schmooze button.
If you're not schmoozing, you're losing.
We love you guys.
Great fellows.
Yay.
Great fellows.
We did it.